We ask you to take your Bibles and turn with us to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And I would like to begin reading at verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1. Would to God you bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I might present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtility, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might as well bear with him. I'd like to speak tonight on the subject, the danger of receiving another spirit or another gospel. Satan led Eve to sin by deceiving her. Think about it. The first sin ever committed resulted from deception. And Satan has been using that technique ever since. Amen. In 1 Timothy 2:14, the Bible says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression." Eve sinned because she was beguiled or deceived. God said that she would die the moment that she ate of the fruit of the tree. But Satan tricked her with false doctrine, that she would not die, but that she would become like God. Eve was not a hypocrite. She was not a moral reprobate, nor did she deny God's existence. Right. She was deceived by a false teacher. Was there no serious consequences? Absolutely. There were serious consequences because of this deception. Think of the horrible problems that came into the world because of this deception. Surely this illustrates tonight the seriousness of the problem of false teachings. That serpent led his person to the deceptive teaching of Satan in the Garden of Eden. And today, with the aid of technology and the possibility of spiritual deceptions are endless. Amen. There are many voices in the world. Unfortunately, many of these voices are contrary to the Word of God. As the falling away is in full swing, false teachers are growing both in number and popularity. Many of God's people listen to and watch these men and women openly defy the Bible with their false teachings. Right. Preachers and teachers, perverted Bibles, my friend, and their unscriptural doctrines permeate the airways. I cannot control the airways, but I can control the airways in my home. And I cannot control the airways within your home, but you can. Now, the purpose of this study tonight is to consider just how serious the problem of false teachings really is. False teachings is really a serious matter. How serious is the problem of false teachings? Does the Bible contain many warnings about religious error and false teachings? Absolutely. There are many, many warnings in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament about false spirits and false doctrine. Amen. The question is, should we as the people of God, should we as the church of God compromise and overlook differences in doctrine to have fellowship with people regardless of their error? I say no, friend. We cannot do that as the church of God. How important is spiritual truth? Friend, I believe spiritual truth is very, very important. Now, if you wasn't here this morning, you missed a wonderful message. Brother Steve, he brought a great message on legacy. And I say, we have much to thank God for. We have the truth to thank God for. Brother Whitehead sang a while ago, I have, yes, I have that kind of blessing. And friend, it's the truth of God's word that brings that kind of blessing. And thank God, there's not enough darkness out here in false religion to put out the light of God's eternal word. But we have an ecumenical movement today.
Right.
Amen. People defend it by saying, oh, we should not judge other people, but oh, we should have a spirit of love and be more like Jesus Christ. I'm not judging tonight, I'm reporting. Amen. There's a whole lot of difference in judging and reporting. When I tell you what the Bible says, I'm not judging you. I'm reporting to you what God has already said. And if you want us as ministers to be more like Jesus, then we got to cry out against the false doctrines of our day. Because Christ spent much time, amen, talking about the false doctrines of the day. Friend, the basic ideal is, people think in the ecumenical movement that fellowship among various groups, amen, that we ought to compromise by ignoring differences of doctrine and practice. And the fundamental plank in this platform is that the doctrine and false teachings, they're not really that much, they're not that serious, and we don't really need to be that concerned about somebody that believes false doctrine. Surely we must agree that we should not condemn practices that harmonize with the Bible, that harmonize with the Word of God. But the question is, should we view false teachings as a serious threat, or should we tone down our opposition to it and seek unity on the base of compromise with those whose practices cannot be found in the Scriptures? Friend, I don't think we'll compromise the truth of God's eternal word to have fellowship with people, my friend, that are preaching damnable doctrines. Yes, my friend, this book, the Bible, contains many, many scriptures that warn us about the dangers of false spirits and false doctrine. Now, I want you to notice in the book of James, and the 3rd chapter, in verse number 17, he said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Notice how he says this. It is first pure, then peaceable. He's putting things in order, isn't he? First pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Peace is so important,
right,
that we should never sacrifice it for the sake of our own opinions or personal preferences. Yes, peace is important, but purity in doctrine is even more important. The ecumenical movement says we should first be peaceable, but don't worry too much about purity of doctrine. God's word says first pure, then peaceable. Friend, in the Old Testament, God's faithful prophets often oppose false teachers, amen, who attempted to lead God's people into sin. Let's read a little bit about that over in the book of Jeremiah chapter 23 and beginning at verse number 13. And I have seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I've seen also the prophets of Jerusalem in a horrible thing. They commit adultery, walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophet that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Now listen to what God said. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor. As their fathers have forgotten my name, Baal. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he said. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. God was against the false prophets in the Old Testament. You know what I believe? I believe if this ecumenical movement would have been in those days, they'd said, hey, let's fellowship these people. They would have took them right in. Right. Listen to Jesus in his day in Matthew 15. Amen. He said, but he answered and said unto them, why do you transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? Verse number 6, thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions, ye hypocrites? Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. He called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Not which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth that defileth the man. Then his disciples said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered them, listen, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Again, I believe that these people of the ecumenical movement would have been in Christ's day, they would have embraced all these people that Jesus called false prophets and false teachers. The Bible says in 2 Timothy and the 4th chapter, verse number 2, what did he say? Preach the word. Amen. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, But at their own lust shall they heap to themselves teaching, having itching ears. And what will happen? And they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I pray to God that never comes true in my life. I pray, God, it never comes true in your life, that there'll be a place in your life where you will no longer endure sound doctrine, that you will not take the word of God like you take it tonight. But it can happen. Time will come. God only knows how many people who once sat right here and rejoiced in the truth, but there came a time in their life when they would no longer endure sound doctrine. They shall turn their ears away from the truth. And what happens when you turn your ears away from the truth? You are turned to half-truths. Fables. Thyatira was also rebuked because it allowed false teachers, Jezebel, to teach and lead the people astray. I want to just talk hurriedly about some things that false teachers do. The first thing they do is deceive. 2 Corinthians 11 verse number 13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." You know what Satan is? He's a great deceiver. Satan tonight is a great deceiver. Paul Harvey was once referring to a conversation that he had with his mother. And he said, "Mom, I have never heard you say a harm word against anyone." He said, "You'd probably even think it's something good to say about the devil." And she thought for a minute and said, "Well, he's really good at what he does, isn't he?" And he is. The devil is good at what he does. And what he does is deceive people. Amen. He's good at that. To the degree that Jesus was preaching one time in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 24. And he said, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Jesus says that false prophets come to us disguised. They look like they're Christians sometimes. And he tells us about it in the book of Matthew, Matthew, the seventh chapter, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets." Somebody said, "I think we ought to be more like Jesus, not talk about people's religions." Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit."
Right.
A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them.
Amen.
We have a warning here tonight from Jesus. And the warning from Jesus says, beware of false prophets. Warning comes in the midst of Jesus' discussion regarding the narrow way versus the wide way. Just as many will enter in at the white gate, so also there'll be false prophets try to deceive us out of the narrow way. They're really, the Bible says, devouring wolves while they appear to be sheep.
That's right.
Jesus then tells us that we can know these false prophets by their fruits. False prophets generate bad fruit. Note that Jesus was speaking here about these false teachers that come in disguise, but they do not appear to be false teachers, because if you read on in verse number 21, they are the same ones that says, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name we've cast out devils. In thy name we've done many wonderful works." But Jesus said, "I'll profess unto them, I never knew you." As the church of God, we cannot be caught off guard. Men appear, the Bible says that men appear to be ministers of righteousness. Deceptive words and corrupt words, they deceive the souls of men. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 5:6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Satan counterfeits churches. God never ordained liberalism at any level. Liberal churches are counterfeit churches. People who are ignorant of what the Bible says often makes the statement, "Well, it don't matter where you go to church as long as you go somewhere." It matters to God. It might not matter to some preachers, but if you read the Word of God, you'll find out it matters to God where you go to church. False apostles are deceitful workers who pretend to be apostles of Jesus. But they are like Satan himself, the Bible says. You gotta beware, saints. We have to be warned again. I'm not preaching nothing new. I'm trying to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. They're like Satan himself. He said Satan himself pretends to be an angel of light. And he said, since Satan himself pretends to be an angel of light, do not marvel if his ministers do the same thing. Amen. Amen. Secondly, false teachers destroy. They destroy. 2 Peter 2, verse number 1, "But there were false prophets among the people." In the Old Testament, there was. In Christ's day there was. "But there was false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." Now here's what they do. "Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them." And what happens? "And bring upon themselves swift destruction." Now here's the sad part. "And many," not a few, "but many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." False teachers destroy themselves. 2 Peter 3:16, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable," they that are unlearned and unstable, "rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." Amen. Someone said, don't matter what you believe, it matters what you believe. Because if we do not rightly divide the word of God, we can take scriptures out of context and rest them to our own destruction. And who could say that is what has happened in the religious world? People take the Bible and they twist the scriptures. They take scriptures out of context and they rest those doctrines to their own destruction. It destroys those who accept their error. 2 Timothy 2:16, but shun. So we said, it don't matter, let's all just get along. Have fellowship. You know, it says, but shun profane and vain babblings, they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. I can promise you that this ecumenical movement of today would, if there was people believing like that today, they'd say, listen, that's just a little difference. We believe a little different about the resurrection. We can have fellowship. Not with Paul. Paul wasn't a part of the ecumenical movement, was he? But what did he say? Their word, not God's word, but their word will eat as doth a canker. Amen. I mean, it's like gangrene. Here in the word of God, God is referring to false doctrine like cancer, like gangrene. He said, we'll eat as doth canker. Gangrene. What does gangrene? It devours. It corrodes. The word rendered will eat means it will spread over and consume. It starts in one area of the body, but if something is not done, it spreads to other parts of the body, corrupting the whole body. Amen. And that's the way false doctrine is, friend. If we get off on one doctrine in the Word of God, you know what it does? It leads us off someplace else. One teaching will lead you off in another. That's why we got to stay with the Word of God and rightly divide the Word of truth, because once you start down that road, there is no end to where we'll take you. It will not merely destroy the parts immediately affected, but what does gangrene do? It extends into the surrounding parts that are healthy, and it destroys them. Friend, this is what God says erroneous doctrines will do. Amen. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Their word will eat like gangrene, which gnaws and feeds upon the flesh, inflames and mortifies it as it goes. It spreads quickly. Amen. It enlarges the whole, it endangers the whole body. And therefore, my friend, it speedily takes over. It kills unless it stops. Amen. It's a disease. It corrupts. It consumes. It turns the body black, spreading and seizing itself, adjoining other parts of the body. And this is the way false teachings are. Amen. They feed upon the souls of men, eat the vitals of religion, or what seem to be such, and even destroy the very form of godliness, bring destruction and death wherever they come. And when they get into a congregation, it threatens to ruin the entire congregation. And know what else he said? It will increase unto more ungodliness. Charles Spurgeon said, the path of error is always downward. John Newton said, the progress of error, like that of sin, is from small beginnings to awful, unthought of consequences. A man that lived in the 1600s said, the faster a man rides if he be on a wrong road, the further he goes out of his way. He turns his ear from the truth and takes the ready course to be given over to believe fables. You know, I'll just be honest with you, and I know a lot of people say, man, I'm really not too smart. I don't have much education. But you know what? I've learned a lot through observation. I'll never forget something that stuck in my mind, and it stayed with me down through these years. Brother Emerson Wilson was preaching in this pulpit one time, And he's talking about a farmer that lived here in Newark, Ohio. I think maybe he raised sheep, he raised cattle. But he was always telling all the farmers how they ought to feed their cows, how they ought to feed their sheep, what kind of feed to use. He knew how to do it. He was the best farmer. But Brother Wilson said, you go by his place and the cows were skinny. The sheep didn't look good. And Brother Wilson said, man, I don't want to do what he's saying. Watch people that say, hey, I've got some great light on a certain subject. Watch the effects of it. Don't rush into things. We have to be careful. He said there'll be people who will come even among us, try to bring in new doctrines. Watch people. See what the effect is. He said, it will increase unto more ungodliness. Anything that causes people to be more like the world is not of God. Anything that causes people to be ungodly is not truth. Truth will never make us more like the world. Truth will not make us unholy. It'll make us holy. Learn from observation. Amen. Watch the effects of the doctrine. Amen. I can look back now and I can see. Over the years, people who said, well, I believe in this and I believe, and here's how I believe, and I don't think this is important anymore. And I look what it led to. Titus 2:7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptibleness. That means they don't have any error in it. Gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. We must be aware and grow in the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3 said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware lest you being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. Friend, the warnings are all in the Bible. You gotta beware. All these teachings, if you're not careful, you're gonna fall from your own steadfastness. But it goes on and says, but grow in grace and what? Knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Him be glory both now and forever. In Matthew the 16th chapter, verse number 11, how is it that you do not understand that I spake not in concerning the bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leavened bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Absolutely nothing wrong with warning people about the doctrine that will cause people to go astray. Church of God, we cannot afford to eat the poisonous bread of false doctrine. It will kill us. It will destroy us. Amen. Before I make a major purchase, I like to go online and read the reviews. I like to find out other people that bought the same product. What do they have to say about it? What if you was getting ready to buy something and you got online and it said this product consists of cheap materials assembled by shoddy workmanship. It is sure to break within a month. And then you'll learn the company does not stand behind the warranty. In short, it is a lousy product and you'd be better off buying a different brand. Amen. What if you read a bunch of reviews like that? You'd be crazy to buy it, wouldn't you? Right. Amen. You're not gonna buy nothing after reviews like that. Right. The same is true of false teaching. If false teachings came labeled, this is error. If you accept this, it will increase unto more ungodliness. Would you buy it? No, you wouldn't buy it, but you know what? False teachings don't come labeled like that. So the devil's favorite trick is to disguise false teachings and make it appear as truth. John Newton said, errors and heresies and whatever degree they prevail have a poisonous effect upon those who admit them. The third thing that false teachings do, they devour. 2 Peter 2:3, and through covetousness shall they, if feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. They covet you for themselves, not you for truth's sake. They got motives. Some seek to get advantages for themselves. And how do they do it? With vain words. Teach with suiting occasions of their covetousness, not with words to suit the hearer. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 16:18, for they that serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And somebody said, oh, that was such a beautiful speech. Wasn't that good? Oh, that was just great. Well, what did they say? Well, it was good. He sure has a good way of bringing it out. But what are they saying? You know, I might just say this. I was preaching at a Baptist church not long ago, and they got this ideal. This, you're not in the spirit if you're not huffing and puffing. Let me show you how they want me to preach. I just said, listen, I'm going to be myself when I come here. I can't preach like someone else. But they think everything you do. And if you're not doing that, they just think you're not in the spirit. And they think you really get in the spirit if you'll hold your hand right here. I call it the Baptist bark. But I am going to go through all that. I don't think Jesus went through all that. One of the dangers of false teaching, it causes diversion. One of the dangers of listening to false prophets is diversion. By listening to false prophets, we're diverted off the right course to a false course. I want to read that in the Word of God. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, they got diverted. Having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm them. That's what false teaching, it diverts you. 1 Timothy 1:19 says, this I charge unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. They got diverted. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they might learn not to blaspheme. What about 1 Timothy 4, verse number 1? Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Got diverted. Depart from the faith, you get diverted. Amen. Giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Right. Speaking lies in the hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. When is it that a ship ends up wrecking? It's when it's lost its course. When it's been diverted, that's when it gets wrecked. That's when Satan, that's what Satan wants from us. You know what Satan's gonna try to do to you? Get you diverted. Get you off the straight and narrow path, get you diverted. And he's gonna try every gimmick, every device he has to try to get me diverted, try to get you diverted. Another thing that false teachings do, they divide. False teachings cause division. 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 10, now beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. When does divisions start? When we start speaking different things. Be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. For it been declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now some say that every one of you saith, I am Paul, and I am Apollos, and I am Cephas, and I am Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now listen, the person behind the division is the one who teaches contrary to the truth, not the one who defends the truth. You're not causing the division because you're defending the truth. God wants us to defend the truth. Press for unity, but not at the expense of truth. Because it said in Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Those who teach contrary to the doctrine which they have learned bring division. The church at Corinth, the speaking of different doctrines was resulting in division. Consider Paul's warning to the elders at Ephesus in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter and verse 28, take heed unto thyself and to yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now listen to what Paul said. For I know this, that after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. False teachers desire to draw people away and divide the church and conquer it through division. Now I want to say something. God knows my heart. I'm not referring to anybody here. I don't know of anything that I'll be referring to anybody here. But listen, there will be people who will come on these grounds and they're not coming here for fellowship. They're coming here to spread their doctrine. You know that? People do that. They don't come because they want to have fellowship with us. They only come and endure sitting through a service so they can pass out their tracts, so they can get addresses. You better watch that person. Beware of that person. And there's nothing wrong with marking a person that's trying to cause division, according to Romans, the 16th chapter. Identify them to limit their sphere of influence and protect innocent souls. Another thing that false teachings does, it brings damnation upon the individual and upon those who adhere to them. So I said, I don't think it's that serious. Galatians 1, verse number 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. I really thank God for truth. I thank God that my mom and dad brought me here when I was a little boy before I got saved. And after I got saved, I have longing to come back here. I saw something here. I heard something here. And I thank God for the truth that I learned by men of God standing in this pulpit. I wonder tonight, do we have an appreciation for the truth? Do you tonight? You got an appreciation for the truth? I thank God for the truth. When two things are opposites, and if I'm for one thing, I must be against its opposite.
Right.
In fact, The stronger I favor something, the stronger I must oppose its opposite. If I favor a democratic republic, I must oppose dictatorship. If I favor life, I must oppose death. If I favor light, I must oppose darkness. The more I value the one, the more I must object to the other. But error is the opposite of truth. If I appreciate truth, I must oppose error. If you tonight appreciate truth, that means you have to oppose error. To say that false practices do not matter is necessarily to say and imply that truth does not matter. Every passage in the Word of God that emphasizes the importance of truth also emphasizes the danger of error. The more I care about the truth, the more firmly I will oppose error. Jude 1:3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. But to contend for the faith absolutely requires us to oppose false teaching because it contradicts the faith. Psalms 119 verse number 10 says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. David said that. I hate every false way. If we consider God's precepts to be right, then we must hate every false way. You cannot support the truth without opposing error. The problem with false teachings is it contradicts truth and it leads people away from God's will. When a person belittles the danger of error, he's belittling the value of truth. So the reason why we ought to be concerned about false teaching is we care about truth. And the reason we care about truth is because we care about God. And because we care about other people. Amen. We care about people. We love everybody. Even people that's in false religion, we love them. And we must show them the right spirit. We must show them the right attitude. We want to please God by following His will and helping other people see the same. There's passages that emphasize the importance of truth. And it's been spoken of several times today here in this tabernacle. Buy the truth and sell it not. Amen. Truth must be obtained at all costs. Right. Once we have it, we must not surrender it for any price. Yeah. If you've got the truth tonight, do not surrender it at any price.
Right.
You know why? Nothing is more valuable than truth. If we really care about truth, then we must firmly object accepting error. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. One of the surest ways to become a victim of false doctrine is to believe that false doctrine is not dangerous. When someone tells you that false teachings is not a big problem, that's a false teaching. If we're not willing to to see the effects of false teachers and withstand them, we will be their victims and join in their eternal destruction. So in closing, what should we do about it? How can we escape the danger of false teachings? You want to know? Somebody said, Brother Stegman, love the truth.
Right.
How can you escape false doctrine? Do you love the truth tonight?
Right.
I said, do you love the truth?
Yeah.
I still can't hear you. Do you love the truth?
Yeah.
To love, embrace, and keep close to the truth is the only defense against error. You're not going to get into false doctrine if you got a real love for the truth. We have seen that people who are most likely to accept error are the people who's not sufficiently dedicated to the truth. Secondly, study God's word. The way we recognize error is to compare it with the truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Honestly examine every doctrine and practice before we accept it. Let God's word be the standard for all spiritual decisions. Then try the spirits. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. We must put the doctrine of every teacher to the test of the scriptures. Acts 17:11, and these were more noble than the Thessalonians, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were true. Look at their doctrine. Is it contrary to clear scripture? God will never operate contrary to his word. We need to learn to recognize false prophets. Though they may speak smooth words, we need to test it by the word of God. God's word brings about stability and doctrinal pureness to the believer. There's one absolute authority, and that, thank God, is the Bible. If you want to know the truth, how to identify false teachers, simply go to the word of God. Because the word of God will bring us to a place where we will no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But my friend will become settled in the things of God. When truth and error are in the presence of each other, the right side is not the middle. Amen? When truth and error are in the presence of each other, the right side is not the middle. Everything that glitters is not gold. Love the church enough to fight for the cause. Do not be discouraged in the heat of the battle. What about you and me? How much do we care about truth? Tonight, how much do we love the truth? Do we care enough to study diligently and remove the error from our lives and serve God faithfully? If you know the truth about becoming a Christian, have you obeyed it? Some of you, you know the truth about becoming a Christian. You know what you need to do to become a genuine Christian. Have you obeyed it? Are you living a faithful life as a Christian? If not, get the need met in your heart and life. Let's stand and sing. Thank you, Father, for helping us bring the message you laid upon our heart.